with a big stare like Stone Cold with a few beers. Play the game, I end the game, I'm champion, I'm Triple H. Undertaker, I'm your maker, bury the brother like Kane. Ooh, 1-3, hit the tombstone, hit the chokeslam on face. Ooh, yeah, like a macho heel, tell like I'm Tommaso. If you suck with like tomatoes, I'ma keep a couple muddles. Ooh, and you may call me HBK. When I'm tuning up the fame, you best be getting in my way. Ooh, yeah, I'm degenerate, I love it, yes, I love it. If you wait, done with that, then I got two words for you, suck it. Too sweet, put your fangs up. Too sweet, pour another cup. This big busy 23, got me feeling way too sweet, too sweet.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. It is good to be back in the driver's seat this week. I want to thank Lachlan Albert for coming on last week. Of course, he comes on every Making Chicken Salad we do together, which I love doing with him. But having him host the show, WRA, this past week and have me on as a guest was kind of weird, but, you know, it was something that I know a couple of people have been asking for a while, and he'd sort of been like needling me that he wanted to interview me for something different. So it was fun, and it's good to be back in on this side of the dial, if you know what I mean. So hope you all went out and enjoyed local pro wrestling this last weekend if you're able to. I was up in Maryborough for Wide Bay Pro. Good show, very good show. It's a good promotion up there, and it's really starting to turn things around, and it's 2022 looks like it's going to be a really good year for those guys, and I can't wait to see how they grow going from there. My guest this week is, of course, if you saw the banner, if you saw the description of the show, you already know who the guest is. It is Jack Bonza. He's kind of a regular, whereas I have him on every couple of months, probably 6 months, I don't know. But there's a reason I do it, because I always love having a good old chat with Jack. And every time we go into a conversation, it's usually we usually have some sort of direction where we want to go in, and it never ends up going in that direction. And that's probably why I love having him on as a guest, because I said it before. I said in sort of the teaser for this week's episode that I could talk to him 100 times and each time would be a different interview, and then that's what this was this week. And because we originally set out to, because PWA have a massively packed December of shows, like they're trying to make up for not having shows for most of the year in this December month, I thought we'd come on and try and give them a bit of a boost, but most of these things are all sold out. So unless you've got tickets, or even if you have tickets to PWA Black Label on Friday the 3rd, it has been moved to the Factory Theatre instead of Max Watts. So get yourself to the Factory Theatre if you have tickets for PWA Black Label. If not, get on the Fight app, order it, because it's a show you do not want to miss. Plenty of stuff going on there. There is a teaser MCW versus PWA match on that card that will be a great one to see. If you're up here in Queensland, Friday, December 10th, PWA Gold Coast is at the Barbecue Bazaar in Burleigh. Get along to that one. Saturday, December 11th, it is PWA Beer and Beer Shed Brewery presents Don Marnell's Pro Wrestling Beer Bash. Again, I'm not too sure there are many tickets left for it, but if there are, if you want to go and want to check it out, please do go and check it out and see if there's any tickets left. If not, I guess you're pretty much out of luck, because that one is not going up on Fight at all. So that's sort of like a get in or you'll miss it type of deal. And then we've got, they're doing a private function gig, which is not a private function. Private Function is the name of the band. That's in Melbourne. Please go and check that out. That is on the 18th of December. If there's tickets, I'm not sure if there is or not, but please go and check them out. See if there is tickets. If there is, get along to it. It'll be a great show, great band, and PWA opening for them. So that'll be awesome. And of course, Sunday, December the 19th, it is on at 2:00 in the afternoon, Australian Eastern Standard Time. It is also on Fight. So this will be the first time that MCW is on Fight TV live. So MCW, PWA, Worlds Collide. That will be a great show on December the 19th. And my guest this week, Jack Bonza, is going to be a big part of all of those things. So please do go and support them, especially like heading into Christmas. Plenty of stuff on Fight. I mean, there's two cards two shows right there on the 3rd and the 19th, which will both be on the Fight app. So please do go buy them. Please do support Australian professional wrestling. There'll be two cards that are well worth your money. We don't charge you money for this, but please make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free. You can do it on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast from, we're there. If you do stop by Apple Podcasts, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears and gets in the algorithms. Same with YouTube. Please like, subscribe, comment, because it really does help the algorithms for people that are looking for professional wrestling, especially when we're trying to promote Australian professional wrestling here. It is our motto. It's what we do. It's what we love. Share the show and spread the word about professional wrestling in this country. Also, you make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search out Wrestle Radio Australia and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU or me personally at Beast Eastman. Support the local industry as much as you can. WrestlerMerch.com is a great way to do that for the individual wrestlers. Streaming services, the Australian Wrestling Network's great. YouTube, go and subscribe to the Riot City Wrestling channel. There's plenty of channels with Australian wrestling on there. Please go and subscribe to them. Support them in any way you can. No real way to support us, of course, except for going to redbubble.com. You can buy anything with Wrestle Radio Australia. Anything you buy from that, the profits of that go to Beyond Blue and Gotch for Life, two charities that we really do support here at Wrestle Radio Australia. That is enough of me hawking my wares and pitching to as much stuff as possible. I'm just going to leave you with this, Jack Bonza, right here on Wrestle Radio Australia.
This is the Bro Day Pod.
St. Patrick.
Yeah.
Where was he from?
Is this a loaded question?
Ireland? Nope. St. Patrick was from Wales.
Okay.
Hey?
Curveball. Swing and a miss.
Not bad, eh? This is prime content.
Yep.
All right. How many snakes can be found in Ireland?
None, because they drove them all the way with the snake whacking ceremony. No, that's
the Simpsons. That's Springfield.
That's Springfield. How many snakes? Like,
is in there are snakes in Springfield. That's why they have whacking day.
They have the whacking day.
But Barry White is against it. He's against. He loves the sexy slither of a lady snake. Gross. That was one of the weirdest things.
Yeah, that was an odd episode.
Lisa was like, Barry White, surely you're against Whacking Day? He's like, I love the sexy slither of a lady snake. Oh, yeah.
Barry White, which one's he?
Barry White?
Mm.
Can't get enough of your love, babe.
Good. Very good. I'm happy with that answer. Do you mean... Species of snake, or how many snakes total?
Yeah, how many snakes can be found in Ireland?
If it's countable, then...
No, not countable, like species.
Oh!
Obviously. You know, like in Australia, we've got everyone. We've got some, like, 24 out of the top 25 most dangerous snakes
world. Yeah, I don't know. Like that. 7.
Nearly. 0.
I said 0 first, there I backed
are,
out.
There are none. 0, it's one of the few countries in the world that has no snakes.
Well, I assume it's because of Whacking Day.
Well, according to legend, our dear St. Patrick
drove them out.
Chased them away into the sea.
Into the sea?
Into the sea.
That's how we have sharks.
Follow Bro Day No Plan B podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Jack Bonza, thank you so much for joining us today, mate.
Thanks for having us on, Todd.
You guys have not really trying to make up for lost time now, are you? I mean, you got, what, 5 events in the month of December just coming up?
Yeah, PWA's got 5 events. I mean, realistically, that was that would have been a lot more spread out if it had not been for the delays due to the pandemic. They were kind of supposed to be in different... I think the Queensland show was originally in July or something, August. Maybe I'm getting that wrong. But, yeah, it wouldn't have been also bunched up if not for the delays. But yeah, coming back strong, big December tour. We've got 5 events in December now. PWA does. Mm.
And then doing the whole collab thing with MCW as well. That's huge news, really, when you think about it in the scheme of things, especially coming back, like the world's just sort of opening up and the two bigger companies in the country have just decided, okay, we're going to do a versus show.
Yeah, well, but, you know, I think part of the difficulty with the stop start with the pandemics, especially like the second one, is like when I say pandemic, pardon me, the lockdowns where we couldn't run shows. The stop start has been momentum. You know, like people always talk about pro wrestling being soap opera, like, but what that really means is, you know, at the end of one episode, you have a cliffhanger for the next episode. At the end of that episode, you resolve that, but have a cliffhanger for the next episode. That's what episodic TV is. That's what wrestling shows are. At the end of, you know, a wrestling event, you have enough hooks that everyone has to come back and see what happens at the next wrestling event. When you have 4, 5, 6 months at a time where shows are just stopped cold and we don't know when we can come back and none of the companies know what they're doing, one of the major challenges is, you know, rebuilding momentum. Because what you're really going to do is you've got to have some kind of draw or some kind of gimmick or some kind of interesting thing, which is normally the hook from the last show. But since that doesn't exist, what do you do? I mean, like after the first pandemic, what PWA had a bunch of main event level matches that they've been building up. And then Aussie Open were there. And then there was a Rumble. And then there was a whatever. And then there was like 3 or 4 months of just gimmicks to keep it interesting. And then all of a sudden, you've built a background, you know, storyline enough that all of a sudden Sam Osborne wins the title with a heel turn ref. Everyone's like, fuck. And we'll get the momentum going again. And then we get cut off again. So yeah. Starting the second one is difficult. Like, it's difficult for a reason, because you've got to have people, something to come in, something to watch them while you kind of slowly build those stories to get people rehooked. And especially because PWA was already going to be in Melbourne. I think this is something that can benefit both companies in terms of, you know, just a gimmick show that'll be really interesting, really great, really fun to watch. But, you know, also you can big enough of a gimmick to drill people in, and then we can use that to build some future stories and stuff to help kind of, you know, start the wheels turning again. And then, you know, fingers crossed that we don't get stopped again.
Yeah, well, Sam Osborne's got to be one of the more unlucky sort of victims of the lockdown is in wrestling, because really that match sort of just catapulted him into like the PWA title, the heel turn ref. He had like a little faction going, and then it was sort of like, that was, oh, we're not going to do anything fancy.
That was his moment. You know, everything was put behind him. He had all the momentum. Just a true visceral reaction from an audience. Like, it's rare that you see something where people are like, oh, we know wrestling's put on, but far out, like it's like a serious thing. I think they really achieved that. And he was off to the races, and then right as it happened, just no warning, we're out again. So that was quite unfortunate, I think.
So it's like and you yourself, what is it? You have a broken foot. Is it so coming back training and sort of?
Yeah. So the day that restrictions dropped in New South Wales, I broke my left foot. I fractured the fifth metatarsal in my left foot. It could not have been worse timing. It's really just been one thing after another. it just kept happening. So yeah, that was a bit difficult. Like, the day we can come back and we can start getting into it, broken foot. You're in a half cast for a week, and then you're walking around in the moon boot for a couple of weeks. Now I've got a strap. So I'm only sort of just starting to get back into it physically. I've still been working out in the gym and doing stuff like that. But yeah, it was a very frustrating time. And then even like today, or yesterday, my phone just stopped working, no apparent reason. Like, it took me 4 hours to go and get that fixed yesterday. I just keep getting poked with things. But no, that's all right. It's gone all right. We'll start off, kick it off on Friday. December 3rd will be the first of 5 PWA events and 1 Newcastle Pro event in December.
Yeah, and how good was it to be back at that your academy shows, to be able to finally sort of start getting things rolling?
That was good. It was good to see everybody. Like, you know, one of the things is in wrestling, especially with the PWA guys, like as a group, we kind of like see each other at least once a week, if not 3 times a week, between training and events and all that kind of stuff. And then there were just groups of people I just didn't see for 4 months. You know, like friends that I'm used to hanging out with constantly, I just didn't see them. And so like, that was the first time that everybody sort of got together at the same time, which was really nice, that we're able to sort of do that kind of stuff. Like, it's one of those interesting things. Like, I've got a 16-month-old son now. And between the pandemic and all that kind of stuff, people met him when he was like 2 months old and then hadn't seen him until now. It's just crazy. Like, especially because, I mean, I suppose it's been a long time for everybody, but it's been weird with kind of time. But I can literally show this human scale of he went from potato who couldn't hold up his own neck to, you know, running around being an absolute menace. And that's the distance in time between which we hadn't seen people. So it was getting back to the show, but really it was just social interaction and seeing people and hanging out again. That was one of the major things, especially for me personally, not having been able to go to training so much because I broke my foot. That was sort of a major deal for me, just to sort of go and see everybody again and try to get things started up. So that was nice. And of course, that's on YouTube as well. We tried the YouTube stream for the first time. So that went well. We got a lot more viewers and stuff like that. I think part of the idea is just getting more eyes on the product and stuff like that, and putting it on YouTube for free, like just the academy shows that the kind of all point towards the Fight TV shows. I think that was a positive step.
So is that the idea going forward, like the academy shows on YouTube leading to the Fight shows on Fight?
I suppose, yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where, like, I mean, you talk to anybody who's live streaming or who's not live streaming yet, who's thought about it. It's an incredibly expensive and difficult process. Like, it's really not an easy thing to do. So to put it somewhere for free is an ask. I don't know, like, because I mean, there's a January 15 is going to be the next Campbelltown show. That's probably not announced yet, but it should have been. It's going to be the Campbelltown RSL show that PWA was supposed to have in whatever is being moved to January 15. And so if that kind of goes well, or those other kind of, or the Beer Shed show, for example, goes well, those kinds of events may replace the Academy events. So instead of doing Academy events, you know, the Lumia Beer Shed's a 10-minute drive from the Academy. So maybe that's where the rookies get their experience, or Campbelltown RSL. It's a kids show, tickets are $15. It's not the $60 Black Label event tickets, you know, that you kind of expect. So, you know, those kinds of events might replace it. But those events aren't conducive to filming either. So I think the idea will be if we can just get a couple shows up now and then. If we do the Academy shows, probably, yeah, they'll get YouTube because they're easy enough to film. But, yeah, I think it's like, because, I mean, you just look at the GCW model. Like, you can find the JCW shows, which kind of don't look to the same. It's not the same star power as the GCW ones, but they put them on YouTube. They just have so much content on there that you get hooked in, and then you want to go and buy the other events on Fight TV. So I think exposure at a certain point is an important thing to do. You can have the best content in the world, but if nobody knows it exists or what it is, or gets any taste of it, then no one's going to pay for it. If no one's going to pay for it, what's the point?
Yeah, well, you've got to almost be looking at that GCW model at the moment as the way that the amount of success that they're having in America. I think they just sold out the Hammerstein for their January show.
They're incredible. Anyone like that, you know, like they're just sort of they're the current thing. They're the current leader, you know, like probably 2005, 2006 or earlier, it was Ring of Honor, you know, like it's just that those kinds of things have their time. And what GCW are doing currently is working and working exceptionally well. Like the, what was the promo where they did, where they just kept talking about how they're all outcasts? Like, I thought that was such a cool thing where, like, Matt Cardona and Ali Catch and all that kind of stuff were, like, basically talking about how they had been rejected from the mainstream companies and they found their place in GCW. But that kind of thing is interesting because I think a lot of places kind of miss the fact that their company has a gimmick. Like, you know, if you have to talk about, like, how do we sell our promotion? If you're doing it, generally speaking, it's like, okay, we're pro wrestling and most average people maybe like they don't know anything else about pro wrestling. So the fact that it's a pro wrestling company is enough. If you go on Fight TV, there are 20 different wrestling companies. Yeah. So what's different than yeah. your company? Like, you've got to differentiate yourselves, right? And that's what PWA Black Label was years ago. Like, I mean, the actual funny thing about PWA Black Label is essentially the company's only 2.5 years old. Like, if you take out the pandemic time, PWA Black Label has only truly been operating for 2.5 years. And you can see the difference between what PWA was in 2017 to what Black Label is now. And a lot of that probably has to do with the branding and marketing. Like, we made it 18 plus. Not that much stuff happens on the show that is truly 18 plus. No. But it's marketing and it's the perception, and you pay more money for it and they have a higher production value. And there's tons of things like that that kind of go into it. GCW's gimmick is that they're the outcasts. But they're punk rock. Like, they're the alternative. They're alternative rock for pro wrestling. And so when you see a promo like that, where they literally just talk about how we were great at what we do, like Nick Gage, fantastic wrestler, all that kind of stuff, but he's got a criminal history and he's got all those other kinds of things, WWE probably aren't going to hire him. I could be completely off base on that. I'm just watching their promo and trying to understand. Yeah. But like, so something like that is kind of like, and then they put that out there in a promo like that, that feels so powerful. It's like for any wrestler doing a gimmick vignette, that's how they're selling themselves to wrestling fans, saying we're not the mainstream thing. We're an alternative thing because we were rejected by mainstream. How many wrestling fans do you reckon that appeals to? Yeah. I would say fucking most of them. Like, the idea of, like, I mean, they hate WWE or they hate the mainstream or they hate the whatever. Here's an alternative that promotes itself as a direct alternative. WWE are never going to do a death match. You know, like, we have death matches here. We do that stuff. You know, like, they didn't like Matt Cardona. We got Matt Cardona. We're going to put him in a great spot. He's going to have great matches. It's going to be all disgusting. You know, like, it's just that really, you can see what they're doing. What they're doing is so effective. And so it's one of those things you've got to keep an eye on, even if you're not a fan, just to kind of just try and keep up. Like, so even more so than AEW, I would say. I would say GCW, because AEW are a step beyond. They got their own TV show. They've got to worry about being mainstream. So yeah. They're an alternative to WWE, but they still have to maintain a lot of that stuff. Like like, I'm sure we all remember the pizza cutter story, right? He used a pizza cutter in a match and then it cuts to a Domino's ad or something. I can't remember what it was, but it was just like, you couldn't have planned it. And then they got in trouble. And I mean, I'm sure nothing really came of it, but it was enough of a controversy just to get the idea that they are still accountable for that kind of stuff. They have limitations on them because they are trying to appeal to a mainstream. They get more than 1 million viewers. You know, they probably aren't more than 1 million viewers in that perspective who are going to be alternative whatever, but you know, when you're that small, as any indie company is, like JCW was a couple of years ago, how are you going to grow? Well, you gotta be different. You gotta appeal to what you can, and they're doing such a fantastic job of that. And then the Hammerstein Ballroom, of course, you know, taking advantage of, you know, the old ECW stuff, and you can make an argument that they're the updated version of an ECW.
Yeah, like being that's what doing stuff. I mentioned that the other week. We do a like an American sort of wrestling podcast on this feed. And I was like, the GCW, the way the GCW fans embrace their wrestlers and embrace the roster, embrace the brand, you could argue that GCW is the 2020s version of ECW. Just that rabid fan base. Just support some of the guys that you would never get support of.
Yeah, I think the smartest thing ECW ever did, and it was also probably hurt them in the end too, but you know, to and fro, was that the audience was part of the show. Because I mean, most of the time when you're doing a wrestling show, you sort of want to teach the audience that they're controlling the action. Like, that's what a booyah is. The heel goes punch, boo, and then face punch, boo. They're going to keep going as the audience knows that they're sort of engaged, they're participating in the action, they get that. The ECW fans, as is my understanding, used to kind of feel like we have to go to the show because we have to check out these newcomers to tell them whether they're worthy of being ECW on the show or not. We need to give the respect to the guy. They felt like they were booked. They had to buy a ticket to be booked, but the audience almost felt like they were booked, which means that they were going to go to every single show and buy every piece of merchandise and be rowdy and do all that kind of stuff every single time. If you can get a fan base to feel like they are important enough to the show, that they have to come because that's part of who they are and what they're doing. It's a very powerful thing to tap into, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So well, that was the whole that kind of thing going on. And again, that, again, I think that's the alternative punk culture sort of thing too. Like, I might be using the wrong terminologies and get too old, but you know, that's the idea is that they're alternative. They're not the mainstream. And they feel part of that, and that's a connection. I mean, that's what wrestling's all about too. I mean, it's such a subjective thing whether a match is good or a match is bad or a match is whatever. But if you can make the audience feel ways about stuff, then you're successful. And I think that that's what they're doing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think that's the reason why I don't like the whole Dave Meltzer star system thing, because I think what one person thinks is an amazing match, another person might think it's just average. And it's just, it's up to the person. Like, and like you mentioned that before about like the crowd telling them, that was the whole Tommy Dreamer storyline to start with. He came in with the suspenders and he was the pretty boy, and slowly that crowd turned him into hardcore Tommy Dreamer. And that was something that I think maybe Paul had seen and go, I'm going to go with this because that crowd is wanting to do it. So we'll just keep feeding it every month or every week.
Yeah. And you pick up on what they're doing. But I mean, like referring to the star system and stuff like that, the reason why that irritates me is because it's like it's the prisoner's dilemma. It's like, you know, like if everybody on the wrestling card does the right thing for the audience, then the audience is going to have a great time and they're going to come back next time. If everybody does the right thing, except the guy in the third match who was only given 5 minutes and told to do nothing, has a 20-minute match and does every move under the sun, and then completely fucks the audience for the main event. So the audience goes, wow, that guy in the third match was fucking fantastic. I remember him. He was great. I kind of felt bored during the main event. I don't know why. It's because the third match guy fucked you. But the audience doesn't know that. They think the guy in the third match was great. So what happens? They buy his merchandise. They go on Twitter and say, we need this guy to be booked. He needs to be booked here. And like book him more often. Like, it's just all that kind of shit that you see. And then what do the promoters do? They're going to do it. And then what happens? Everybody else on the roster sees that and goes, well, now I know what I have to do. Then you get 8 or 9 matches where everybody's having a main event match. Then the audience thinks it's fucking garbage. Except for Dave Meltzer, who's on there giving every match a 4-star match because that's what he's interested in. You know, and so, like, it's not even like a thing to the audience. It's like if, say, you're on second or third and Dave Meltzer or whoever was doing a star review of the show said that was a 2.5-star match. And then they said something in their review about, like, you know, the show was truly the main events. I gave the main event 4.5 stars and everything else only had 2 to 3. I'm sitting there going, like, that's probably on purpose. Like, that's what it's supposed to be. Like, you don't, like, if they're giving out star ratings and that match that went on second got a 4.75 stars, something probably went wrong. You know, like, it's simply not supposed to be that way. So when it's like, okay, I had a 3-star match because that was my place on the card. If you're talking about that in a negative fashion, like, that's where those troubles come in, is when guys need to do what's best for themselves because they're a private contractor. But at the same time, like, if you're ruining cards, then eventually audiences are going to go away. That's why I don't like the star rating system much, because, you know, like, the main event's supposed to be 5 stars or 4.5 stars, and then the main event of WrestleMania is supposed to be 5 stars.
Yeah, you know, the main event's supposed to be the best match on the card.
It is. And if you're in the undercard, you might be capable of doing more, but to do so in your spot may not be appropriate. And that's not to say anything against your skill or against your value as a wrestler. That's simply what you were being paid to do that night. Mm-hmm. And because the audience needs to have a great time at the whole event, not a great time during your match. Yep. And it's a basic management principle. You reward the behavior, like goal setting, you reward the behavior that you want to see. But if the audience has a way of rewarding behavior and they reward somebody for doing the wrong thing, then that person's going to keep doing the wrong thing. That's where it gets a bit frustrating. But again, like, it's that's all very hypothetical, and that's all that kind of stuff like that. Like, Dave Meltzer and the reviews and stuff like that, I think it's great. Like, I think it's fantastic when they do that kind of stuff. Because, like, and it's not that I give a fuck about anybody's opinion on wrestling. To me, it's all dollars and cents. If you have 500 people in an audience and then you have 1,000 persons in another audience, the 1,000 person one wins. Like, it doesn't actually matter. you know, like you have a good time, you're making more money, you're doing that's the right thing. What Meltzer's got is he's got the world's greatest marketing tool. You know, like, so like if you want to do an interview on one of his podcasts, he's got millions of subscribers. You know, if he puts something in his letter about you guys, and that's whatever. Like, you know, if he reviews one of your matches, then that's fantastic. And anybody who, you know, isn't going to be super obsessive or isn't going to be smart takes the reviews with a grain of salt. Like, even he says, like, you know, this is just my opinion, this is just what I think. Like, you know, like, so like I think if you look at it, he's not like really, I could be wrong too. I think people interpret it sometimes. He doesn't seem to force it down people's throats. Like, this was only a 3-star match, so this guy sucks dick. It's like, he was on second, he had 3. It's fine. Like, it was just, there weren't as many dives or table bumps in this one because he was on second, so it gets this many stars. That's just what, like, you know, that's, I don't think it's as bad. It's when people take it a bit seriously. It's when guys who are not in the position to do it are aiming for that 5-star match, but they it's not appropriate for their place in the car. That's the only time where it becomes frustrating, I think.
Yeah. I don't want to say hard, but how hard is it for you to sort of drill that into your students that it's about the show as a whole? And if you do your role in the show, your role will advance, sort of thing.
It's cultural. So it bleeds from the top down. Like, you've got to indoctrinate them into the school the right way. So like what the school at PWA concentrates a lot on is how to introduce people to wrestling in the best possible way. And so that includes like a full on, like, you know, they come in, you give them a talk, we point out the opportunities they could potentially have, the production quality that's being put into the show, the different thing, the amount of training. Like, we talk about years ago, it used to be, you know, a boxing ring once a week, and now we have a full-on training facility and stuff like that. You know, today might be one of the hardest things you've ever fucking done, but just don't quit. Like, and then you put it like, okay, 3 months' time, you're going to have a grading. You need to tick off these things. You mentioned 3 or 4 times through the day that safety is the most important thing or whatever. I usually get ahead of it and say, I'm sure some of you have thought about your characters and the entrance music you're going to use when you first start wrestling, and that's fantastic. None of it's going to fucking happen because you're an idiot. it's don't say it like that, but it's like, yeah, I mean, there's certain, but everybody thought about what song they wanted to come out to. It's a fantasy. It's great. But then you learn that that's not probably what's going to work for you when you get on a card. Like, you start early. You frame their mindset from early days, and then when they encounter other people around them who are surrounded by them, and then you have like you know, really great top level wrestlers like Robbie Eagles and Madison Eagles who are also following those same rules and those kinds of respectful things. Once they've been around that environment for a couple of years, you don't need to worry about it. You know, like, it really does come down to, as much of a trope as it is within wrestling, it really comes down to a respect thing. You just bring people in a respectful way that enables them to respect the people above them, so that when they get onto cards, and they're probably, when they first start, they're rookies, they're lucky to be on a main card and do anything. So you've got 4 minutes. If you're over 4 minutes, you're not going to be another card. And then they stick to 4 minutes. And then, you know, you have those talks where you just kind of like, okay. Pretty much the speech go through then. It's about the overall thing. If you do the right thing here, you'll get on more cards. If you do the wrong thing, somebody else is going to take your spot. There are 50 students there. So we need 4 minutes for this reason. And just explain it to them and just be nice and be whatever. And they're surrounded by people who are doing the same thing. They're probably not working with the rookies. They're working with more experienced talent who are also going to follow the same thing. And then after they do a good job, then you go and talk to them and then you make them feel good about it. Because again, it comes down to rewarding the behavior that you want to see on cards. So if somebody does the right thing, even if they did basically nothing, on the card, if it was their spot to do nothing, then you go up to me.
You
say,
did your job.
You did really good. Everybody noticed you did the right thing. It was great. It was this. You may not have felt it at the time, but what you actually did was you slowed the card down to the match after. You should get more over, which means those guys could thank you and different stuff. And you make them feel good about doing the right thing. You know, and then you say, and then next time it's going to be somebody else's turn to do that for you, and then you're going to get more over, and it's going to be fantastic, and it's going to be this and that. Like, that's, you've really got to reward the behavior that you want to. That you want to see. And then on the other hand, if they go twice as long and they do all that kind of stuff like that, then it's kind of like, guys, you won't have the time. That was ridiculous. You're not on the next show. Like, they're just, and then they're not on the next show. You know, yeah. that's how it's gonna be, you know. And again, it's not that being a dick. I really think it comes down to a cultural thing. Like, you need a collective group to understand that that's the right thing to do. And then you indoctrinate somebody into that group, and then they don't need to think about it again. It's self-perpetuating. So, but like, yeah, it's really, you got to kind of start at the beginning. It's all those little subtle management and goal setting things I think are important.
Yeah. My thing always used to be, like, if I go someone to say, if I've been at Match and I said, oh, what can I do in 5 minutes? And they go, well, do you eventually want to get into the WWE thing? How many 15-minute matches do you reckon you're going to get there? Learn to work these smaller matches, because it's what they're going to tell you to do when you get into these other spots.
Yeah, and there's tons of stuff you can do in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Some of the best matches, like, it's just one of those things. It's just like, I mean, even like I had a match with Kingsley in January where we just had this, it was like the culmination of this story. It was like there was so much of a story-driven thing. And you go back and look at the time, it was like 6 minutes and 51 seconds. Like, and most of that was standing around.
Yeah.
So like if you get good, like no wasted motion, you don't really need to do that much. To kind of get stuff across. So I think that might be an experience thing too. Again, that comes with working with people better than you. So when you have like, you know, old double champ Robbie Eagles, best of the super juniors, you know, whatever, coming back, and then, you know, you're a rookie who gets to wrestle with him because he loves to do that. Like if he comes to the Green Label shows, the first thing he says is like, I'm going to wrestle all the Green Dingoes. And he tells them, we're going 5 minutes. This is what you do. Then they will, and they learn, and then you get better. Like you look at the Prefects; those guys are great. Like Jimmy Townsend and Billy Preston, they're really, really good. They got over. You know, they literally, like, their instruction was like, you get no offense, but you do a schoolboy at the end. That was what they did for 6 months, and they were one of the most incredibly over gimmicks.
That's the Mikey Whip rep.
That's exactly what it was, except instead of a sunset flip, Yeah.
And then now you've got like Billy Preston with this new gimmick, which I haven't seen him like wrestle at all. I already love the idea of the, because I didn't realize how much he looked like Steve until he started the game. I was like, holy shit, he does.
Just that repackaging thing. When I saw that on Twitter or whatever, I was just like,
it was so good. It's so smart.
Yeah, they are. They're very, very, very smart guys. And so, but they're great wrestlers too. That was the thing, is like, you only probably start to see it soon is like in ring, like training and stuff. They're really good wrestlers. It was just before, all they had to do was this and then a schoolboy, and they were more over, which again probably comes down to, are you trying to get your shit in or are you trying to get over with an audience? And they were getting over with an audience, and fuck, they did.
And then they had to be sort of trepidatious walking away from that Prefects gimmick to start something new because of just how over that thing was.
Yeah. I mean, I think like just looking at the timing of it, I think the fact that there was a lockdown for about 7 months during when they would have continued that gimmick, so it probably got missed just because of that. But yeah, I don't think so. Like they're only like 19 and 20.
Jeez.
They're actually like, when they were playing schoolboy characters, they were like a year removed from actually being in high school. So pardon me, I don't think I think with those guys too, I mean, you see what Billy Preston's doing now and stuff like that. Like, I just think they're smart enough that it was just like, do we want to stick with this gimmick until we run it to the ground and nobody cares anymore? Or do we want to culminate in this big filmed promo, like filmed match, cinematic match that's going to make everybody cry at the end? Yeah. And then move on to something different. You know, like we often laugh about the stuff that we feel gets ripped off. To put it nicely, we have like a running list of all the stuff that we see in bigger companies that looks very directly like it was ripped off PWA Black Label at some period in time. But the thing that always gets repeated and the thing it always comes back to is, you can rip off ideas, but you can't rip off the ability to come up with new ideas. So those guys were smart enough to come up with that gimmick when they first started. I am supremely confident that they are smart enough to come up with another one and another one.
The one thing about the one thing about PWA is that you always seem to have all these guys coming up with like fresh and new and just different angles of looking at it. Like I had Konko on here a few weeks ago and we talked about the whole him and Fudge thing, the two-man rumble and all of that sort of stuff. Like yeah. How, when they pitch all this stuff to you, is there ever a thing where like you just, do I want to take the chance on this? Or is it just straight away, that's go for it?
Oh, it's they're not just pitching to me.
Oh, you know what I mean.
There's more of a discussion there. I'm one of the people who like, I think I get this rep of being the one who's the iron-fisted control of everything, but I'm the only one who was dumb enough to make it known that he was part of the management team. Everybody else kayfabe. I'm the lightning rod for that shit. But I mean, like when we talk about it, to me, it's like, I'd rather go out swinging.
Yeah.
I'd rather strike out going for something than doing the same boring thing. Cause I think it's part of it. Like one of the reigning theories was like, if you had a rookie and they wanted to start with this big fantastical gimmick, it's actually kind of stupid to do that. What you would do is you would start them very plain and then have them add a little piece of it or whatever like that. Because even if as time goes on, because if you watch the same thing over and over again, it might get boring. If you watch somebody grow into something, it's like what you're talking about with Tommy Dreamer. Like they feel part of their journey and they feel more emotionally connected to that person. I think that's because watching the same stale thing over and over again is boring. So even if something like, even if Billy Preston shits the bed with this Blue's Clues gimmick character, it's going to be kind of fun to watch him shit the bed, right? Like it's going to be a lot better than if he came out in plain trunks and wrestled a normal match. Like he's going to come out and do something and it may not work, but it's still like, it's still going to be like NFL. You see that fucking stupid thing that he tried to do? What an idiot. Can't wait to see what he does next. Like, so I always think it's better to experiment. I mean, it's just, and we like, how often do they truly fail? You know, like, I mean, there was a lot of pushback to the heel ref gimmick, you know, like people were like, oh yeah, we just don't know how this was, whatever. It's just like, just try it. Like, we'll just try it. What's the worst that happens? We have one event that doesn't go that well and then we can forget about it by the next event. But then when it works, you know, like if you got to swing for the fence to hit a home run. So that's one of those things. I think the journey of experimentation is more interesting than playing it safe. I would say. And I'm always like, I always think it goes better than I think it's going to go a lot of the time. That's like stuff like the two-man rumble and stuff like, what are they trying to fucking do? Like the double elimination and stuff. Like when, maybe like the audience is just more intelligent than they get credit for sometimes, but like them following all the little things and all the little pieces of it. They're really right on there. And I think that's probably the other good thing about having an 18 plus audience too, is that you can respect their shit. Like do you know who Neil Gaiman is?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. Yeah, fuck yeah. So I'm a huge fan of Sandman and all that kind of stuff and the upcoming TV show. All my tattoos are Sandman. I've got a bunch of them now. But yeah, one of the things he always mentions is he says like the more intelligent you treat the smarter you treat your audience, the smarter they are. And so that's why, like, if you read a lot of Sandman comics, they do not spoon feed you anything. Like, you got to figure it out, but people figure it out and the story's better for it. You know, so if you have lots of little subtle things that get planted along the way, it's just this really rich experience that people kind of stick with. And then it's, I guess, the challenge with wrestling, as it always is, if it's every show is someone's first show. So anything has got to be digestible if this is the first time you're seeing anything. But also, if you're a long-time viewer, there's stuff that's, you know, continually going to reward you.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like the two-man rumble and all those little things, I just think they're fantastic. And I've never seen anything like that. Never heard anything like that before.
It was brilliant. That's what it was.
And I think the other part of it too is it's competition. You know, like, I mean, if you're in a situation where, like, I don't know, say we had Robbie Eagles and Nick Murray, and then everybody else was a rookie who'd only had 6 months experience. How hard are Mick and Robbie going to try? probably not that hard. Like they don't need to. They are the main event. Anybody they work with is lucky for them to work with them, whatever. You get to an environment where there are, I think there might be 61 active members between of the PWA and Newcastle Pro rosters who are available for events at any given point in time. I'm probably exaggerating because unavailabilities and stuff like that, but I think there are actually like 61 to 65 active wrestlers. There is not 61 to 65 spots in the card.
Nah.
So if you've got to try to get on a card, or if you're a rookie who's trying to get on a card for the first time, you've got to have something good. And that's when they work together to try really hard to get something good. Like it's that whole, it's just that competitive environment of like whatever, like part of the talk with the rookies too, is it's like one of them asked a really great question. Steve Pirovic is very smart, new rookie. And he asked like, how do you get on black label shows? And it was one of those things where it's like, trainees at the PWA Academy, you are guaranteed if you graduate to get on the you know, the Academy shows. The only way to get on black label shows is to be good. You're not guaranteed that. That's competitive. The best guys get on there. That's it. End of story.
So
it doesn't matter if you've been training there for 10 years. If you're not the best option for that show, you're not going to get put on the show. So in that kind of environment, just the inventiveness, like necessity is the mother of invention. You want to get booked, you've got to come up with something. So that's how they come up with stuff. And that's where all the different fresh ideas are. We had a pitch meeting in lockdown, towards the end of lockdown. And I think we had 31 people attend this pitch meeting, all pitching different ideas and stuff like that. Like there's some guys who are just so smart. Like I mentioned the prefix already, like even just not for them, just for other people. They're just like, oh, we think Cherry Stevens would do this. We think this person would do this. Like, they've got all these different ideas. And Big Fudge is another one who probably doesn't get talked enough about. He was one of those guys who, when he first started wrestling, exploded, like, because he just kind of got it right away with all the character stuff like that. And he's an underrated in-ring wrestler because he's like the prefix. He doesn't, his shtick isn't wrestling, but in the situations you actually see him wrestle a match, like there's one premiership match against Jude London, and you can like hear me sitting in the crowd going, holy shit, you're actually good. I forgot you could wrestle. it's just all stuff like that. And those guys are they're just so smart. So when someone really digs it to them, it's like, all right, you don't have a spot on this card. He's like, we'll by the next one. They come up with something great. I think if you can, and it's kind of similar to what you're asking about, how hard is it to make sure somebody in the second or third match, you know, stays to their time. Well, I mean, if they understand that if they go overtime, they're getting kicked off because we've got another 10 options. You know, that's the kind of thing that keeps people in there the same way it keeps them competitive. It's just such the cultural aspect is such a powerful element.
And it's also got to be, you've got to love the fact that you've got so much to choose from, really, when you think about it. You got guys coming up like Back Pain. I love that team. I think that team's got so much potential.
Did you see Jimbo, Jess, and I starred in a plant-based burger commercial?
No.
Check out Instagram, Bud's Burgers. Jimbo, Jess, and I are the spokespeople for Bud's Burgers, which is plant-based power. We dress up like 1980s wrestlers and do like Hogan-esque promos. To advertise stuff. She's another one. Like, she's great too. Like, she's like not even at the point where she can have matches yet, but she's already on cards because during lockdown we would do promo events, and her promos were so entertaining that it was just kind of like, you go on shows now. I'm like, I can't wrestle yet. Yeah, I know. Well, back pain. Well, their gimmick of just kind of like, you guys are Bebop and Rocksteady. Like, that's like, he's just dumb as shit, but also you're immensely powerful.
It actually reminds me a lot of Chronic. You remember Chronic, the old WCW tag team? It was like Brian Adams and Brian Clark.
Oh, yes. Okay.
That's when they came out because they were just looked like they were brutal. I'm like, I like this.
Yeah. Well, I always think of them like, you know, on The Simpsons where the nuclear power plant has an inspection and they can't find Homer or those other two employees, and they discover them in the sewer guarding the bee, And then he says, like, oh, Mr. Simpson, I don't understand why we need to guard the B. And he goes, oh, that's why Smithers made me head B guy. And I was just, I always describe it to him, just like, you guys are the two dumb guys. And then Jess is head B guy. She's smarter than you. She's not smart, like, but in real life, she's incredibly intelligent. Like, she's, she holds a doctorate. Like, it's just, it's unfair. Like, in wrestling, it's like, you know, if you're super strong, you have to be dumb. If you're smart, you're probably a technical wrestler who doesn't look as good. Like, unfortunately for her, she holds all the cards, but a character with no weakness isn't really much fun. So to like artificially tone down your legitimate intelligence level for this one. God, I hope it's not bad that I say that to a woman, but she's also like competes in New South Wales Strongest Woman and stuff. She's really just an incredibly talented person. Yeah. So that's just not one of those things. And she's got an artist Instagram and stuff. Oh, God, listen to me gushing about our new rookies. So yeah, there's a lot of good rookies, and it's a very competitive environment. But yeah, Back Pain are doing really well. They got shape too. Like, so many people, like me included, everybody just got fatter in lockdown. Like, I it was just, of course, it was so depressing. You couldn't go to the gym. Like, there was nothing to do. It was just bad. And it's just this kind of like, all right, I'll lose the weight when we get off it. Jack Payne comes out of lockdown like 15 kilos lighter. Like, he was,
He looked shredded.
And then, and then Backman did the same thing. I said to him, did you lose weight? And he goes, no. And I go, but you change body composition. Like, he just got huge. It's like, I didn't get any lighter. I just got bigger and more muscular. Like, so it was just
poor thing.
Yeah. That's the way they, so that, like, it's interesting watching the people who came out of lockdown in better shape. Like, that's what was impressive, because it was just such a, it was just such an awful period of time for everybody. But some people really took the bull by the horns somehow.
It feels like, the only way I can describe the last 2 years is it just feels like it's been a daze.
Yeah.
It's so like, you wake up, shows just, again, go back. Okay. You wake up, shows again, go back. Okay.
No, I just, I really hate it. I can't stand, like, you think that, like, yeah, okay, you just, you don't have to do much and it's relaxing, it's whatever. I'm incapable of relaxing. If I feel like there's something to do or something or whatever, I can't enjoy it. And it was also difficult having a kid during that time. Like, my kid was born during lockdown. So, like, I could be in the delivery room, but my wife's mother or anything like that couldn't see the baby for like a day. Yeah. Like, and even then it was like one per day. Like, the oldies had to take turns coming in and meeting their newborn grandchild. Like, it just, and then like having to, like, no day, or there might have been daycare, but there was no day. There was just no mothers groups, like no family groups, no, couldn't go and see their grandparents, their cousins, no social interaction, no whatever. Like, it was just, you just have this baby that you have to raise inside your house without going anywhere. Like, it was really difficult. a lot of people suffer the same thing.
Yeah, I haven't seen my little sister or my mum for near on 2 years now. Because they're in Adelaide, I'm in Brisbane.
Yeah, sure, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's awful.
Hopefully we're turning a corner.
Yeah.
I know they talk about this new variant and all this, but
I think if they try to lock people down again, then everyone will go conspiracy theorist, anti-lockdown, but I don't think it'll be as much of a fringe thing. I think if they try to lock people down again, everyone's just going to say no, we're not anyway. We're just not.
I think, and fingers crossed, because of the vaccine levels, I think they're just going to do what America's done now. It's go, oh, it is what it is. This is something we're just going to have to live with.
Yeah, I mean, what else can you do? You can't keep everybody locked down forever.
No, that's 100% correct. Because I don't want to miss this before we talk about it. You guys have moved from Max Watts to the Factory Theatre, I noticed.
Yeah, they just moved us across. It was just it was nothing to do with anything except for the venues reopening. So, like, all the venues have been shut for a long period of time. So coming to reopening, that was bad. I think that was poor form, honestly, on the venue's part, to make the decision so late that they weren't going to open Max Watts. But they are they just switched us to factory. And we had no say in the matter.
Fair enough. Very
unfortunate. It's just, I mean, Factory's a good venue. Factory's great. It's just that Maxwell's is the place where we've done so much of.
It's like the home, isn't it? It's like the spiritual home of Black Label.
Yeah, it is. And it had been such a long time since we'd been back there because we've done some stuff at the Factory. I think the last thing we did might have been the Factory. I can't remember. But yeah, no, it was.
It was. It was the.
It was the Prize Bulls show. So yeah, it was just the, it's just another thing. But I mean, we'll move through it. Like, it's just another. I've long come to the conclusion that anything you try to do in real life is going to be met with insane obstacle after insane obstacle. And the only way to ever get anything done is to just mentally accept that you're going to have to work through it and do it anyway. Relatively minor thing, as long as, you know, everybody gets contacted properly to know that the venue has been moved.
If you've got tickets and you didn't know, you're at the Factory Theatre now. Don't head to Max Watts, head to the Factory Theatre.
We'll tape up a sign on the door of Max Watts as well, just so people know.
We aren't here. Go here.
No, but we've barely talked about the shows, Todd. We've got five shows in December.
Yes, we do. We've got heaps of shows going on. We are.
How difficult it is to get me to go off on a tangent. Five shows. So December 3 is the first one. And then December 10.
Have you got the list? On the Gold Coast. Yep, December 10th. You're at Barbecue Bazaar in Burleigh for PW Gold Coast.
Yep.
It'll be fun. I'm probably making an appearance there. Saturday, 11th of December, is the PWA and Beer Shed Brewery presents Don Marmel's Pro Wrestling Beer Bash at the Beer Shed Brewing Company.
Yeah.
So I'm just reading straight off the thing here.
It's so good. Like, it's honestly just considering, like, is that just what we should do all the time now? We should just set up the ring at breweries and then wrestle there. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's not a bad idea. Makes all the post show drinks easy.
We'll see how the fans go, but. Yeah, no, that's it should be a lot of fun.
And that one isn't on Fight. That's just for the fans that's going to that show.
Not doing that one Fight.
So just so everyone knows, that's you have to go there. You can't just wait for it to pop up on Fight or anywhere else. Just at that event. And then I haven't got it written down the date. When is the private party show?
Private function. That's December 18 at the Forum Theatre on Flinders Street in Melbourne. So the confusion thing for me when I was first told about it was when they said private function, I thought, someone's having a work party or something that they're setting up the ring at. No, the band is called Private Function.
It took me a while to realize that too. I was like, why are they advertising Private Function? I couldn't work it out.
It's definitely confusing. What was the name of the show? Something on Nightmare on 69th Street or something. Christmas on 69th. It's a Christmas themed show. But that band looks amazing. Like, they're just like, they're so much fun. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's going to be such a hectic night. Like, they've got like a Titantron and they've got smoke machines, they've got fog machines, and they've got everything. Like, the basic thing is that it's a private function band and they've sold like 1,500 tickets for this event. On Flinders Street in this amazing venue, the Forum. Like, it's a whole thing is massive. And they're a really cool band, but they're wrestling fans too. And so it's kind of like, you know, when you go to a concert and you see like the secondary band that plays before the main one, the sporting band.
Yep.
Peanut Ray's a support band. Except we're just wrestling, you know, playing music. And they thought that was a really cool idea. So they we're doing all that. So, the main thing will be the private function concert. The PWA will be there doing an hour of wrestling before that goes on. and then invading MCW's territory, so they've called us out. So on the Sunday we'll be doing MCW versus PWA Worlds Collide. I think it was called that because 10 years ago there was a MCW versus PWA event called Worlds Collide. So I think that's a callback to that. So 11 years ago, wow, history of the companies.
And also for those going to that World's Collide show, as a reminder, it does start at 2 p.m. So it's an early show.
Yeah, early show, but that will be live streamed too. So you can also watch it on Fox. But that'll be on, that'll also be early.
Like, so that'll be that'll also be at 2.
Yeah, because it's live stream. Yeah, so
it's hard to live stream with a delay.
Well, that'll be MCW's first live stream, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really cool. That you'll get to see MCW live stream for the first time, as far as I know.
Yeah,
that kind of
it is, because everything else has always been on.
Yeah, I mean, they've always been on demand, but this one you'll get to see live at Thornbury. Mm. So that should be, that's just going to be huge. Like, they announced Ricky South versus Adam Brooks.
Yes, I know. I saw that. I was only with Brooksy this weekend, and he's really looking forward to it.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. Again, Ricky's like, Ricky's one of those funny ones who's just, I think he's underrated. Like, people think he's fantastic. I understand that, but I still think he's underrated. Like, and so he just doesn't get, you know, flown around as much, I guess. But this will be one of the first real forays where he gets to have a big main event in somebody else's city with an interstate wrestler. So that'll be a big coming out for him. So that'll be really good. He's probably the hardest worker that anybody has. I still tell that story about him at Ring Crew, which is just insane. Like, so the if you're part of the PWA company, again, there's usually 40 or 50 people doing Ring Crew. So what happens is you go, okay, meet at the academy at 10 a.m. and everybody will pack the ring onto the truck. Then the truck will drive to the venue and everybody takes the ring off the truck at this time into the venue, and then we go from there. So Ricky puts a message going, hey guys, I'm going to be there a bit earlier. If anybody wants to get there and start on the ring at 9:30, I'll be there at 9:30 and we can get a head start on the truck. And then, like, I think it was like Nick the ref or someone went, I'll get there early. And they showed up at 9:30, half an hour earlier than everybody else was supposed to get there. These people show up to help Ricky get an early start of the ring crew, which Ricky had already done by himself. So they showed up at 9:30, half an hour before the other 30 people were supposed to show up, so they could get an early start. And Ricky had gotten there even earlier and done it by himself. People not familiar with ring crew on a truck, we're talking the metal side poles, the 6 meter normal poles, tying it down from both sides of the truck. He had done it.
Well, he had actually loaded the truck.
He loaded the whole thing.
Oh,
the ring was set up as if you were training it. And then the ring was on the truck, and the only person who had been there was Ricky. He did it on his own. And just the fact that, again, and then we had to like message the page to be like, guys, don't bother showing up at 10.
Ricky's done it.
Like, there's like 30 people who are going to show up to do the ring crew who are like, Ricky did it on his own. it was just this whole, and that's Ricky South. And that epitomizes who Ricky South is. You can't kick him out of the training center. Like, he's just he's really just, his work ethic is insane. Like, even and the pride he takes in representing PWA as its champion is also incredible. PWA sponsors the number one jersey for the West Tigers. But what sort of that also kind of belongs with is we sponsor the under-8 Willoughby Roos, the local rugby league juniors team in Willoughby, and they had their trophy presentation day on Sunday. So Ricky showed up to give them all their trophies, holding the PWA championship in a full suit. And it's just one of those things where, I mean, the kids probably, you know, would be mildly aware. Like, PWA has their logo on the back of their jersey. I'm sure they're sort of aware who the wrestling company is. But to have the champion there with the big heavy championship belt, and they all get to hold the championship belt alongside their trophies and stuff like that, just fun stuff like that. But that's just, Ricky had to take time out of his Sunday to go and do that. But that was important to him because that's part of what he feels is his role as a champion. So just can't say enough good things about people like that.
Yeah, you want 1,000 Ricky Souths, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so we'll go through it one last time. Friday, 3rd of December, you've got Black Label Presents Now We Conquer Live. Now, there's going to be like a new belt or something for Sam?
Yeah, so, I mean, really, if anyone's been paying attention, so the general gist is that PWA dropped gender divisions, right, which is a prerogative of the women's wrestlers. None of them want to only wrestle each other. They want to wrestle the guys because, I mean, think about if you're a wrestler and you only had four or five opponents, you know, or you could have everybody. They all want to do an agenda. I can go on my own. It's not domestic abuse rant if you want me to do that again, but it's not.
You're right.
That's stupid. It's stupid that people think that. But yeah, so that's what they want. And then you think about, okay, but there was a women's title. I think it might have been like the first women's title in Australia. It's like, it's been around since like 2007. It's been held by Madison Eagles. It's been held by Jesse McKay, Dakota Kai, like all these people. Like, it's really quite an illustrious history. But with that being said, having a women's division belt means there has to be a women's division. And if you want to drop gender divisions, you have to drop the championship division, right? So the women's belt became a belt that was open to everybody. And then Sam Osborne won it, but it's still referred to as the PWWA Championship, Pro Wrestling Women's Australia, which makes no sense. So I believe that they have rectified that. So there'll be a new championship, a new title name for it. And it'll carry on the lineage, but it'll no longer have the word woman in the title when it can be won by men, non-binary, any other gender that don't have to specifically be women.
I think the same with the heavyweight title, too, is
the heavyweight title can be won by women or non, like anyone. Like it's they're all open divisions. We've had female tag champs before and stuff like that all the time, but now it's all official.
Yeah. So that show will be on Fight as well. So if you're not in Sydney,
that show will be on Fight. We got that. We got Team PWA versus Team MCW. It's Royce Chambers and Mitch Waterman and Mystery Third MCW guy taking on the Velocities, which should be huge. I'm just trying to think. There's a me and Kingsley are gonna take on SMS to see if we change our name.
Yes.
Well, I don't have to be a bad bitch anymore, but we'll find out.
I thought about that the other day because you sort of went, well, we could always go back to being Red Nation. I'm like, okay, fair enough.
I mean, we'll just see. Yeah, I'm in trouble with Kingsley because I liked one of Bell's posts about it. But we'll see how it goes. There's just a ton of cool stuff on there already. And then, yeah, and after that's December 10, which is in Queensland. Perea versus Wakehall's Most Wanted. Wakehall's Most Wanted are my new favorite tag team, honestly. There's not that much of it online, and they don't have much of a social media presence, but like when we started looking at Queensland more and just seeing those guys, I'm like, oh, it's very good.
They're from was it Behind the Bars to the Ring or something like that? I think that's what they call their series of videos. It's just great. Like for an example, for the Pro Wrestling League show, they weren't booked. So they cancelled the flights of Seb and Mitch. So PWR needed a tag team, and then they just walked in and took the match.
Yeah.
And they did a series of promos to lead that up to that. It was so good.
But I mean, like you talk about, like, you know, the PWA, that's a very PWA gimmick. That's something that could fit in real nice. Like that's somebody who's taken a risk to do something fun and to do something different. And it's paying off really well. So I'm really looking forward to them doing their thing. And then, yeah, the other man, like Lucy Brawl and Bobby Bishops and a bunch of the other Queensland locals and maybe some PWA Sydney guys as well. That really depends on the border.
Yeah.
So if border opens, you'll see some PWA Sydney guys. If not, it'll all be the Gold Coast newly fledged PWA roster members. So
yeah, and a lot of those guys that train at Three Count and all that, they are very good. They are really coming into their own over the last like 12 months because we've been able to wrestle a little bit more than what you guys have. A lot of them have just grown in leaps and bounds from training under Mark Davis.
Yeah,
so to see their growth is just really good. Like Outback Adam, Geet Stevens, Jack Tarr, all these guys. So much future in those guys.
Well, that's the thing too. It's just about like trying to get them an opportunity to do more, and it's hard with any area. But like, if you can have a show that's half PWA roster member guys, and not to sound condescending towards Queenslanders or anything, but if you get like, you know, the Velocities or Robbie Eagles or Mick Moretti, guys who've done like PWG, or you know, guys who have signed New Japan, or guys who have gone off and done all this stuff, if they get an opportunity to work with those more experienced guys, they're just going to get better and better.
Yep.
The guys who are working hard and working with guys like Mark Davis who are improving through him, they get more opportunities on bigger shows with more experienced guys. Like, it's just, that's the kind of thing that really helps push something along. And it adds a different element to a PWA show too, you know, to see all these new guys like trying to be competitive and trying to get better and coming in and kicking our asses. That'll be really fun to see. And on that same night is Newcastle Pro Show. So if you're in Newcastle and not Queensland,
yeah,
go to the Newcastle Pro Show. Rumble's on.
That's the Rumble.
Yeah, Nui Pro Rumble. So those are always a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, when I saw that they'd finally, because they'd started up again, they were going to do the Rumble show anyway, I was like, oh, good. Because I love those shows. I love those Rumble shows from Newcastle.
So
Friday night is, if you're in the Gold Coast, go to Burley at Barbecue Bazaar for that. Saturday night, if you're in Sydney, it's the Beer Bash.
Look, unfortunately, most of these things are sold out or close to sold out. We haven't announced it because we had to announce the venue change, but if you actually check the Max Watts ticket allocation, it's exhausted. Max Watts is sold out on Friday.
Get it on fight.
Factory Theatre is sold out on Friday. Anyway, December 10, I think there's still tickets available. December 11, the Beer Shed, if it's not sold out, there must be like 3 tickets left. Like, it's really just... like, it's just that close. It's just that awkward last 2 or 3 tickets that never go because somebody wants 4 tickets and they're not available or something. Like, it's kind of hard. They're all close. And, so that's December 11. But that'll be a lot of fun. It's just, like, honestly, it's the best little brewery. it's called the Beer Shed. And it's literally just, you just walk into this place. It's just this homey, old-time, like, wood table, everything. There's just this bar there. They're in the kegs everywhere. Like, they do comedy and they do music and now they do wrestling, and it's just the best place to go and hang out.
Is that the place that there was a photo of you and your son wearing matching outfits? Because I think that was in a brewery. It looked like it was anyway.
No, that was a different brewery.
Was it? Oh, okay. Oh, geez.
That was in Newcastle. That was a different place. That wasn't a brewery either. That was was it a brewery? Oh shit, it was a brewery.
Yeah, because there was big stills.
Yeah, I know. But that one, like, okay, so December 11 in Lumiere is a brewery. Like, it's like a brewery that has a wooden bar thing set up in it, and that's it. The other place is a restaurant, big bar on the water thing. And then this other section little here is a brewery. Like, it's like that place is really more of a big restaurant bar, nice place to go. I didn't take my son to a dingy. That I haven't before. Mate, I've just not that.
Hey, you do, mate.
I
wouldn't
dress up for it. Yeah. So that was quite adorable.
I'll tell you, it's got to be good to see all these shows around the country just selling out. Like, you've got Reawakening, which sold out like a month before.
Yeah, like 3.5 weeks ahead of time. That was sick.
Yeah.
The thing that I just keep, and I understand how difficult it is, but I'm sitting there going, could you live stream it for me? Like, just honestly, I want to watch it. I want to watch it. Like, I want to fucking see, like I want to watch Gavin and Don, and I wanted to see Julian Wardle and the different thing. Like, I'm like, I want to fucking watch this and pay attention to this shit. And try as I might, 4 days later on demand, it just doesn't. I don't know. Like, I still watch it. Sometimes I still get to it. But if it was live on the day, I'd have watched it. Like, and I'd be, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I get how hard it is and how much of a bitch I'm being. It's just that I really want to watch it and I can't. And I don't.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same. I've been annoying Stormy about it since we did that 3-way pod.
Oh, yeah.
I've been annoying him about it since.
But I'm better than most. I know how difficult it is, so I'm not really blaming them. It's just this little thing where I'm like, I don't want to watch it, but I can't. Can somebody just like point their phone at the ring and then just kind of
do a Facebook live stream for us, will you?
Yeah, like just something like that, just so I can sort of see what's going on. It's the same with all of them, with like Deathmatch Down Under and all those ones too. Like, I just want to see. Like, I just want to see what's happening. Like, and I'd pay for all of it too. Like, I'd just be like, come on, like, it's Saturday, I'm in lockdown, I got nothing else to do, live streaming.
Yeah. How much do you watch of like the local stuff around the country, like your Riot Cities, your Rampages, EPWs.
Well, I mean, barely any.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm trying to, I'm one of those bitter wrestling fans who doesn't watch wrestling anymore. Not really. But I'm more like, okay, so this week my viewing was, I've spent the last 2 weeks trying to get through AEW full gear. I am currently halfway through the main event. It was a 4-hour show.
Yeah.
And I just don't have that much time to kind of get through stuff. Like, I try to watch RCW stuff when they put it up on YouTube and that. Like, I try to watch the matches when they come up. It's just really just this, like, I don't know. It's just another thing to watch, and there's so much content out there, and I got to concentrate so much on my own stuff. Like, but this week I watched 2 35 and 50 minute Nick Bockwinkel versus Mr. Perfect matches on YouTube. That's just what I watched today. I went on a run of like everything that Walter has ever done on YouTube. I watched, like, if I ever log into the network, I'm gonna watch something different today. Dean Malenko versus, oh damn it, I watched the same thing that I always watch every time I go into the network. Brian Danielson versus, okay, great. Like, I have the things that I watch, and I try to watch more, but I just can't. And I know how good it is. Like, I mean, you watch, like, I think Gavin McGavin won the Rumble again. Like, he's another one of those guys. Like, Ricky's just sort of very good, and everybody knows he's good, but still sort of underrated in that he doesn't get talked about in the same circles. But if you ever actually watch him wrestle, it's fantastic. Like, it's so smooth. He does so much, like, cool stuff. I think he's just such a whiny little bitch that people tend to tune out a little bit. But, you know, like, that's just the character, of course. So, like, that's just the, you know, that's just part of the thing. So, like I was messaging him too. I'm just like, dude, I was just saying, bitch, I said, just fucking live stream the shows, man. I'd be watching it right now. there's something about it. Like, when you see it on and you see the Twitter and you see the whatever, you're like, oh, I'd pay $10 to catch up on this now. And then when it comes out 4 days later, it's like, it's a Thursday at 2 o'clock and my son didn't sleep the night before. So I'm dead. And I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to think about what I'm going to do on Friday. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, and then it just kind of, and then they've done another show and it passes by. I just sort of like, I want to get into it. So when I watch it, it'll be one of those things where it'll be like, I'll just spend one weekend and I'll watch Riot City, and then I'll watch an AEW one, and then I'll watch a wrestler. So I see it. I keep up with it somewhat, but like, if it were up to me, I'd watch every minute of it. Like, cause I know how good so much of it is. And I want to see what everyone's doing. I want to see what the best guys are doing, but I don't know. I think it's just a realism thing. I run three separate businesses. I have a small child. I have a relationship to maintain with my wife somehow. I need to go to the gym. I need to do all these things, like watching. I'm trying to get into habits. I think it's an habitual thing too. Like, instead of watching, you know, two broke girls during my lunchtime, maybe the AEW pay-per-view. And even though I can only watch 12 minutes of it, at least I'm seeing 12 minutes of it. Or if, like, it's 5:30, which is witching hour, so my son's bitching at me because he's hungry, but he's not allowed to eat for half an hour because otherwise he'll get hungry. Like, it's a whole cycle. I put on, you know, something in the background. So even though I'm not paying attention to it, I'm still sort of catching enough of it, you know, instead of, I don't know, watching Seinfeld for the 100th time. So like that's just sort of that, like, that's the habits I'm trying to develop. so I see more of it. But yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting question. Do you ask that to other people you interview often, how much they actually watch everybody else's stuff?
Not that much, to be honest with you.
I'd be interested to know like how much the other guys are actually watching what's going on.
I find not only because, like, I've sort of started booking again, but because I do this, I tend to feel like I have to watch everything around the country.
Yeah.
So I have to say, if I'm talking to like you or Davis, I know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're not just, they're not saying names. I'm like, who? I sort of know who they're talking about now and then, and I can, there's something I can pull from for questions. And from the booking perspective, if there's some guy that I'm like, he's really good, he's not really getting a massive like chance to be able to show that he's really good, I could probably bring him up here, give him a longer match with a more of a thing so he could work that out. if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just smart to stay aware of everything that's happening and just supporting it too. You know, we've got to sort of support each other as best we can and try to put it out there. And because I mean, yeah, the more supportive we can all be of each other, I think the better. Yeah.
That too. And like, I'm a Riot City boy. So it's like, it's my contact with home is being able to watch those shows on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. You can still see all the old people and all the old things. I think that's what we're always getting messages from Robbie Eagles in Japan during our live streams.
Yeah.
It just misses being there. And I'm like, Robbie, you won the tag team titles with Tiger Mask tonight.
Yeah. You're
doing something more important. He's like, but I wanted to be at the dojo show. And he really did. Like, so it's just a funny feeling of like, he's off doing all these just fantastic top level mainstream things, but he still misses being at the academy with the green dingo.
What I found funny is that he messaged me the other night and like I was like, oh, how are you doing? He goes, oh, it's a real hard slog. His biggest complaint is he doesn't get to see Venom for 2 weeks because they release it later in Japan. I'm like, I think you're doing all right the way you are, mate.
Oh no, like really, it's one of those things. We tease him about it because, you know, he's living the dream, but also he's been overseas for like 6 months. Like, imagine living out of a suitcase. He's married, like, not seeing his wife or his sister. He's like, you know, just stuff like that is just like, that's a very mentally difficult thing to have to go through, even though what he's doing is really great. Fuck, that's got to be rough. Like, it's got to be such a hard thing to try and do. So, you know, we do feel for him, even though he's killing it. Like,
and it's especially because it's only the way the world is at the moment, because normally they only do like 6 week tours and then come back and then go back over.
Yeah, normally it's a lot less harsh. Yeah. So that's what we've all fingers crossed about the new Omicron virus variant, because it's not even about like being able to come back and forth. It's the quarantine periods. So like, if he has to, you know, quarantine for 2 weeks going into Japan, and then quarantine for 4 days coming back to Australia or something like that, that's an extra 2.5 weeks in which he is sitting in a hotel room looking at a fucking wall and not being able to, even if he's technically in Australia, I still can't see anybody or doing anything. And if they are like, you have 4 weeks off before your next tour, but then 2.5 weeks of that is fucking quarantining, that makes life even more difficult for him again. But then the other option was when he was in Australia and didn't get any work for 7 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, so most of the time, like you said, it's 2-3 weeks or 5-6 weeks tours, and then they come back for at least a couple of weeks, and then you kind of go back and forth. But being over there for such a long period of time sucks so much. So.
Mate, we're going to have to wrap it there because, as usual, you and I talk for 1,000 years, and it's always great. So Friday, 3rd of December, Black Label on Fight. Can't get tickets, so watch it on Fight. You're in Queensland, PWA is at the Barbecue Bazaar in Burley on Friday, December the 10th. Saturday, December the 11th, if you're in Sydney, it is also the Beer Bash at the Beer Shed Brewery in, where is it?
Lumea. So it's like Western Sydney.
There we go. And then if you're in Melbourne, you've got the private function. I keep saying private party because of AEW. That's why I've just worked out what it was. There's private function with PWA. Function
concert. You can come check us out there. That should be just, mate, I reckon, like some of the stuff they've got lined up is just going to be such an incredible night. And again, like 1,500 people in that massive venue with wrestling. Like, it's just one of those things where, I mean, it's not our concert. It's not our crowd. But we're still going to get to wrestle in front of 1,500 people. How often does that happen in Australia?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, rarely, I would say. Like that, something like that happens. So, you know, that'll be great. And then, of course, the next day, MCW as well, I'm sure we'll have another. How big an audience is normally 400 or 500 people in Thornbury Theatre, whatever it is? Just, it's going to be a big weekend.
Yeah. And that too is going to be on Fight. So if you're not in Melbourne, get it on Fight and watch it as well.
Get the stream.
Yes. So, Bonza, thanks so much for coming on, mate. And you got a massive month coming up. So, have fun. I mean, I hope you're all good for it and all that stuff.
Yeah. Thanks so much. I enjoyed coming on. I'm sure I'll be fine.
Thanks, mate.